Welcome to the Harvest Time Podcast, where our mission is the commission to make disciples. Join us as we delve into candid discussions, share inspiring stories, and take practical steps in growing together as dynamic ambassadors for the gospel. Get ready to embrace your purpose as a laborer in God's harvest field. I'm your producer, David, and here are your hosts, Katie and Caitlin.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Harvest Time Podcast. Today we are talking about the optional commandment, and hopefully that title kind of drew you in today. But I want to pose a thought to you as Caitlin and I have been going through this topic of, you know, we went through a prayer series and we've talked about some other spiritual disciplines and things like that. We were thinking about the Ten Commandments and how, you know, none of us really question that God's command to not murder is still on the table for today. And we all know that stealing is wrong. Lying is wrong. Many of us struggle with coveting, you know, I'll give us that. But when it comes to that fifth commandment, remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy, we tend to just mark that as optional. We don't tend to see that as greatly offensive to our God when we don't keep this gift that he's given us. Exodus 20, 8 through 11 tells us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do not any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now we could do a whole podcast episode on the sacred and the common things in scripture and how modern church in the United States really struggles to make those distinctions, but maybe we'll save that for another conversation. But I think one thing that really gripped me, I heard one time, is that God created all things in 6 days and on the seventh day he rested. He created man on the sixth day. So God's last day of the week is Sabbath, it's rest, but man's first day is rest. And so we were designed to rest and then from that rest, work and glorify God, not the other way around. What do you think about that, Caitlin?
Yeah, I think that's so good. So we both read this book called The Subversive Sabbath, and we can put a link to the book in the show notes for you guys. Highly recommend it. A good read for over the summer. So I read it last summer, and I think really what Katie's saying is one of my favorite lines in the book, which says, "The Lord of the harvest is also the Lord of the Sabbath."
Yeah.
And I remember reading that, and I probably read it 20 times, just that sentence over and over and over. And I'm like wide-eyed, like, oh, I think I had missed this my whole life. And I begin to wonder, like, maybe this is why sometimes ministry becomes difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the quotes from the book is, humanity had only God's goodness to celebrate in the beginning, nothing more. Work had not even begun. The Sabbath teaches us that we do not work to please God. Rather, we rest because God is already pleased with the work he has accomplished in us. And the book also kind of talks about how modern church growth is essentially built on no rest. It's built on striving and perfectionism and production, the value of our ministry leaders and volunteers and church staff. And it's all designed around, you know, working your fingers to the bone, long hours, burning the candle at both ends, when the pace of Jesus and the way of Jesus is not designed that way. The way our bodies were created, the way our spirits were designed to function in a state of Eden, in a state of perfection and perfect unity with the Father, is that we were designed to thrive when we are working out of rest, not working for rest.
Yeah, I think that's a huge distinguishing factor. I know I have spent most of my life Work, 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 work. Oh, now I finally get to rest. And resting when I'm just working all the time and when I really used to just like do too much and try to fit too many things into one day was not ever rest, and it wasn't ever Sabbath. It was my body shut down and I would just hit a wall and crash and burn. And then I'd be down and out for, 2, maybe even 3 days, depending on how hard I'd been going. And then I would get back up and run and do it all over again and be like, oh, look at that, I rested. But that's actually not what Sabbath is at all. And I think there's this like misnomer that I've really been finding as I have started to implement this Sabbath in the past year. And I think the misnomer is that it's boring and also that you like can't do anything at all on that particular day. And if you guys read the book, I think the author does a really good job about essentially saying like, what's restful for me is not going to be what's restful for Katie necessarily. What's restful for Katie is not necessarily going to be what's restful for me. But if it's restful to you and it's not distracting you from God, then like, why not do it?
And I do want to kind of put a disclaimer here. When we're using the word rest and Sabbath, we're not talking about numbing and checking out. We can sit on our phones and scroll through Instagram for an hour and say we rested, but we definitely did not. We had our brain firing on all cylinders. Plus, we were likely filling our brains with things that aren't edifying and helpful and fruitful either. We're also not talking about just sitting in front of the TV all day. We need to make sure that we're making that distinction between numbing and checking out and burnout versus rest. There for a while, before we had our daughter, and we're kind of slowly getting back into these rhythms. It's kind of like, it's exactly like prayer and scripture reading. Like, it takes time to develop patterns and habits. But one thing that we used to do is, Sunday mornings before we would go to church, my husband would make pancakes. And that was just an element of Sabbath for our family. We would sleep in, he would make pancakes, we'd dump a bunch of fresh, syrup, real maple syrup on those pancakes. And it was just this reminder that we're to taste and see that the Lord is good. And it was a reminder of just how sweet his love is for us. Even that is a component of Sabbath. And then we would go and worship with our church family. And we're not necessarily saying that it has to be all the time this perfect 24-hour structure. I think if we can work our way to that, I think that's a beautiful thing. But don't be discouraged. If you can't immediately change your whole schedule and carve out a perfect 24 hours to do this, start with an hour, start with 4 hours, start with an afternoon. It doesn't have to be a Sunday. For most of us, Sunday is actually a big ministry day. I don't find Sundays to be super restful. But maybe it's a Wednesday. I want Caitlin to share a little bit more about how she's implemented this, but just wanted to provide some of those disclaimers is that we're not trying to add legalism to this like the Pharisees did, where they didn't even want Jesus to heal on the Sabbath. We want this to be exactly what it's designed for, and God gave Sabbath to man as a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, I have done kind of a lot of trial and error to figure out what is Sabbath to me. And so basically, I just kind of want to share the story of what do I do and what fruit have I seen from that. So I love it. So my Sabbath day is on Saturday. And so Friday night, it's really fun after work because, okay, I finish work and then I give myself like this 3 hour period. And in those 3 hours, it's almost like I'm anticipating the Sabbath. I'm getting excited. So I'm like cleaning my house, I'm getting the groceries, I'm meal prepping so I don't have to cook the next day, just like making sure everything is in order, like get out my clothes for the weekend, just like tidy up everything so that I don't have to think about any logistics when I'm trying to rest. Because for me, cleaning and cooking and baking and grocery shopping are not restful at all. And so I'm like, okay, I don't want to do this. And so I do all of that Friday night, and then I'll usually end Friday night either with just like praying or reading some scripture or reading a book for fun, something to just kind of like chill before I actually go to sleep. And so Saturday mornings, my church does a prayer set from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And so for me, like I love praying and being in the presence of God and in community, and so that's restful. And so I'll go and I'll just worship. I make it a point to never lead out on prayer on Saturdays, even though I'm a prayer leader. I just go and just receive and just be there. So once I finish with that, if it's, so I alternate something every other week. One week I'll Sabbath just me and Jesus, and then the next week I'll Sabbath with me and Jesus and in community. Because it's important to do it with people and also by yourself, I think. And so if it's a week where it's by myself, I'll often just go back to my house, and a lot of the time I'll just lay on the couch and I'll just like look at Jesus's face, and if he prompts me to read scripture, I'll read scripture. And I tell you what, like, because I'm in this state of rest, like the revelations that I have received on the Sabbath day have blown my mind, and they've actually changed the way that I do ministry. I've been able to share this facet of Jesus I never saw before, and people have been impacted and actually like changed the way they do things because of the revelation that I received because I was at a state of rest. Other times I'll be like, oh, I feel like being crafty today, and so I'll, you know, do an art project or a sewing project or something. And I'm really intentional to let myself become aware of Jesus present in the room as I'm doing something like that. But I definitely make it a point to not be on my phone. I don't like watch anything. I don't listen to anything. I just want myself to exist. Sometimes I'll go on a walk. It just kind of depends on what I'm feeling as restful that particular day. But something that I almost always do is take like a 3 or 4 hour nap, which is awesome. And I'm like refreshed to continue on and seeking him that day. If it's a time when I want to Sabbath in community, so that this Saturday is Sabbathing in community, I'll just hang out with friends and make it a point to not, you know, have any super intense conversations. We're just lighthearted. Like this weekend, we'll probably play Just Dance together and just laugh and catch up and just have a really like refreshing time together. So that is kind of what it has looked like for me. And so when I take those that day, I feel like a new person the next day, honestly. Like even if I maybe only managed to Sabbath half of the day or whatever, I feel so refreshed, and I minister differently that week, and I'm more centered and I have more energy typically. And on the days where I don't Sabbath, or the weeks where I don't Sabbath, it definitely takes a toll, and I'm just like exhausted. I'm like, oh, I can't wait till the next Sabbath day so I can like get a refreshment. So it definitely has made a big difference in my life. And I think something cool with patterns is like, now that I have this as a fairly established pattern, like I begin to crave it. Like I look forward to it. My body's ready for it. My mind, my spirit is all ready for that.
Yeah. I love how you Sabbath. I think, you know, there's things about, you know, your habits of Sabbath that I would probably tweak for my own family. You know, I've got, you know, a family of three, and so that's something to consider. My toddler probably won't just let me lay on the couch and see God's face for hours at a time, necessarily. But, you know, things like even something like a family Disney movie night, that's a restful thing for us. You know, we love eating pizza and watching a movie, going on a hike. You know, for me, cleaning and grocery shopping are actually very restful things. And so, you know, those are elements that I don't need to keep off of the Sabbath. You know what I mean? And so, you know, for me, I love cooking and eating a big meal, you know, a roast with potatoes and homegrown vegetables. And so the point is that ask yourself, what is restful? What is life-giving? What is turning my gaze from earth to heaven? These are the types of questions that can help you kind of even list out options of how to spend your Sabbath. Conversely, you can create a list of things that you shouldn't employ on the Sabbath. So Caitlin, you know, kind of taking it on the opposite approach, what are some things that maybe you didn't mention that are just kind of non-negotiable? We don't include these in the Sabbath.
For sure. So for me, that's like I had mentioned, you know, any cleaning, cooking, basically things that don't feel restful to me. I don't do any technology. I don't listen to any music. I don't listen to any worship music other than the prayer room. I don't like text people. I don't I don't seek the Lord in order to like process something hard and heavy. That's like a non-negotiable for me. I just want to be in this posture of rest and worship and awe. And you know, I think sometimes we're like, oh, but if I'm not on my phone and somebody has a crisis, like I'm gonna miss it. And I tend to be of the opinion like either somebody else is gonna pick up or it will still be there tomorrow and it will be okay. And so I just really try to not like engage with anything technology that I, you know, feels distracting to me.
So on the weeks that you are Sabbathing in community, can you tell us a little bit about how did those conversations go? You know, where how does your Sabbath differ from how your friends might Sabbath? Do your friends Sabbath? You just kind of walk us through how to even initiate those conversations. Because just keeping in mind, a lot of our audience is in college right now. And so they're living in really tight community, but also they have some limitations just based on their own schedules and opportunities. So.
Yeah, I think there's a really important kind of saying that has developed over the years, and it's that God gives grace for the season. And so I think to Katie's point earlier, you know, if you're in community and you're all believers and you all kind of make a pact, like, okay, we're going to implement the Sabbath, let's do it together. You know, take 3 hours of a Saturday and cook a meal together and just be like talking about Jesus or talking about fun memories from the past or something funny that happened last week or whatever. Not to, you know, ignore what's going on. And if somebody really does need to talk about something, obviously do that. I've done that before. Like I've, you know, prayed over people and it's been wild on the Sabbath, but I just don't do that all the time. Don't make it a point to seek that out, basically. But some of my friends Sabbath, some of them don't. And basically, it's just a setting boundaries thing. Like they just know, like, okay, Caitlin's not gonna be engaged, and that's totally fine. And I'll see you at church tomorrow, kind of deal. So, yeah.
That's
And
great.
I will say this. So this was not on a Sabbath day, but I think it illustrates something about the Sabbath. So I remember I was in grad school and I had everything under the sun to do that day. I mean, I had assignments and readings and papers and tests. And of course, the house needed cleaned and I needed to go get groceries and this and that and the other. You know how it goes. And I woke up at like 6 a.m. and I mean, I was like ravenous for the presence of God. Like, I don't know if I ever remember feeling like that desirous of God in my life. And I was like, how am I going to focus on school when all I want to do is just like worship and read scripture? And I finally, you know, made a decision. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to worship. And I did that for 4 hours, like 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to continue on with the tasks that I need to get done. And between 10 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., I had every single thing completed. And I was not tired at all, and like spent the night like hanging out with my roommates, just like doing nothing. And I was like, what just happened? So I think there's a real beauty. The point being, there's a real beauty when we give God our time. I think He multiplies it elsewhere and allows us to get the work done that we need to get done still.
It's almost as if God gave Sabbath as a gift to man, you know, like he says that all throughout his word. And, you know, I was reminded in Exodus 16 of when he was providing manna to the people in their wilderness wanderings. And he tells them to gather, you know, what they need each day. And on the sixth day to gather twice as much to cover the Sabbath. And in that story, you see the people kind of doubting God. Some people are taking more than they need, and some people are trying to gather on the Sabbath. And God comes to Moses and says, like, how long will you disobey my commands? Like, don't you get it? Like, I gave you the Sabbath and I provided what you needed for that Sabbath. Like Caitlin said, like, when we give God our time, he multiplies it in other ways. But we also have to remember, like, rest is a key currency in God's economy. Rest is not laziness. And if you know that you're prone to sloth, if you know you're prone to laziness, then yes, like that's something that we want to check our hearts in. But I think it's just as dangerous for those of us that are prone to overwork and burnout and seeing our value in our production. that it's almost like when we fail to Sabbath, and I'm saying this as one who is guilty of this regularly and needs to repent regularly of this, but when we fail to Sabbath and obey that command and view it as optional, we're telling God that we don't trust him to take care of us. We're telling him that we don't believe that he has ordered our days and established our steps, mm-hmm. and that he's going to give us everything we need to accomplish what he's asked us to do.
Yeah, no, that's really true. It all comes down to that trust. And I'll just land the plane with one more scripture reference. So Psalm 46:10 is fairly often quoted, and it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." But it continues on and says, "And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." And that "be still," more precisely translated from what I've looked at, means stop striving.
Yeah.
And I began to think about that one day, probably on a Sabbath, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that makes so much sense, because he's saying, if you stop running around like a crazy person, then I'm going to get exalted as God because you trust me to be God and you're not. And I was like, wow, that's really beautiful. And so I try to live, you know, I want to live every day like that. And of course I, you know, try and fail, but the point is the pursuit. And I think God is pleased with the pursuit of that. And so I'm not, you know, perfect at keeping the Sabbath every time, but it's a heart posture thing. And so we just want to invite you guys to try it out and see, like, why is this commandment not optional, and why is it actually like one of the most beautiful ones?
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for listening, and we are excited to see you next week.